Lauren, I know you're aware, but just to remind you, earlier this summer, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that NCAA athletes can earn income from their name, image, and likeness.
Being incredibly athletic, I'm very aware of this. But guess what? Our sponsor, Spring, has hopped on board. They've just partnered with Influencer, that's INFLCR, which is the leading platform for athlete brand building to help college athletes maximize their earning potential by selling physical products, NFTs, and digital merchandise. It's a first of its kind partnership, and literally, it's a game changer.
Here's how it works. All transactions are reported to the Influencer Verified Ledger. That's so athletes don't jeopardize eligibility through NIL opportunities. That's name, image, and likeness for short. Spring will also provide education on best practices for creator commerce that students can access on demand. NCAA athletes can integrate their online store with their social profiles like Instagram, Linktree, and YouTube so their fans can shop seamlessly. And partnership athletes receive an additional discount on all core apparel products.
So if you're an NCAA athlete, if you repped NCAA athletes and happen to be listening, head to Spring to get your merch out there and start earning. And if you aren't a student athlete, that's cool too. You've got plenty of opportunities to create, share, and earn with Spring. Head to Spring to start creating. That's SPRI.NG.
This week on Creator Upload, taking the red pill and talking about the future of communities online. Spoiler alert, it's in crypto and NFTs. UTA is getting into crypto too. TikTok is coming for YouTube and Instagram gets rid of the swipe.
Welcome to Creator Upload, your creator economy podcast. I'm Lauren Schnipper.
And I'm Joshua Cohen. Lauren, How leveraged are you into NFTs, either into profile picture projects or generative art?
Thanks for asking. I'm not.
Why not? Haven't you seen all these different profile pictures of people like being like penguins or apes or monkeys or squiggles?
I clearly don't have the just massive disposable income that you do, Josh. So, you know, one day.
Please, you can get in with just several tens of thousands of dollars. No, you actually don't need that much. You can get in with a few $100.
Okay.
You can get in with fractional ownership too. By the way, I'm the fractional owner of a CryptoPunk, like we've talked about before. In my Discord, we're all making hats, which will be cool. I'll be getting it shipped out shortly. A hat with a little CryptoPunk on it. So what are these two main kind of things happening in this NFT space that are super exciting? One I think you'll dig is the generative art.
Okay.
So this dude, Eric Calderon, who's been in the crypto space forever, he was at the original CryptoPunks party, owns a few CryptoPunks. He goes by the name Snowfro.
As one does.
And if you look at him, he looks like a dude with a fro. It's fitting. So he has this ideal where pieces of art are not created by the artist, not created by the computer, and not just created by the consumer or the purchaser, but created by all three together in one moment. So he basically created this computer program where then someone can go in and identify what they want their art to kind of look like. Like the different styles, different images, different moving pieces, etc. Colors, textures, whatever you want. But it's not finalized because it's randomized. The artist puts in this code, the program takes this code, and when the buyer presses mint to get one of these items, that's when the computer actually spits out a final project.
And can they only buy one of these, or there could be many and they're always going to look a little bit different?
They can be many and they're always going to look either a little bit different or dramatically different. And there can be an addition of 100 of these, of 10,000 of these, of potentially more, but the variables are basically infinite here.
Okay.
And so his first NFT projects are called these Chromie Squiggles, which look like a kind of rainbow color squiggle line that originally sold when he first did them a year or two ago, you know, for several dollars. The latest of one, which sold for $250,000.
What?
Potentially more now. And he started this whole new concept of all these artists going to ArtBlox, which is the community he created and is home to the software he created that can make all these generative projects, and is releasing new ArtBlox projects from different artists every week that are just going up in value like crazy. People are buying them and flipping them. Actually, Snowfro's kind of pissed that people are flipping them because he wants everyone to have access to this art, but now there are all these middlemen that are just gatekeepers in between the artist and the eventual collector or consumer. I think he's pissed off at that because he really feels like the buyer of the art is integral to this process of the art's creation.
Sounds like it, yeah.
It's really heavy kind of stoner college talk art stuff or like PhD thesis level art stuff.
Yeah.
Either way.
Either way, you're in. And how many have you bought?
I'm in. I've bought none of those, but I've wanted to buy a lot. But it's just,
you're just a spectator at this point?
A man can only have so much Ethereum in his wallet once. And also, kind of running parallel to the art block scene are these PFP projects. PFP stands for profile picture. Why does PFP stand for profile picture? Who knows, but it's 2021 and here we are. And so these are projects that are more community-based, where they're generative, like the art blocks are, mm-hmm. but they all basically take some type of human or animal looking object and then apply different features to them. And the features that you get are randomized when you buy the art. So one of the most popular ones right now is Bored Ape Yacht Club. And Bored Ape Yacht Club, it's a bunch of apes. Why is it called Bored Ape Yacht Club? Because there's a backstory to all these PFP projects, and the creators believe that like they all aped into crypto at this moment in time. And so in 50 years, they're all going to be quadrillionaires. And what are they going to do? They're going to be a bunch of bored apes at a yacht club figuring out what to do with all their money another time.
We can all dream. Uh-huh.
So there's all these different iterations of the bored apes. Some have hats on, some have hypercolor skin, some are smoking, some are not smoking, some have more scruff than others. And all these attributes are more rare. And so the more rare your bored ape is, the more value you can get from it. So the floor now for these bored apes, the minimum dollar amount that people are buying them for is around 25 ETH. So these price points are in Ethereum. And so 25 ETH at today's current prices factors out to about $75,000 wow. in real life, where 5-6 months ago, they were selling for a few $100 a piece.
Uh-huh.
Maybe less than 1,000.
Is this just a, it's not a supply and demand.
It is a supply and demand thing. So there's only 10,000 of these, but people might own more than one. So there's less than 10,000 actual owners of all these bored apes because someone might have multiples in their wallet. But what these projects do that are good is they try to build up the value of these NFTs and the value that they bring to these NFT holders, both in sense of community and in sense of monetary profits. Okay, why do they want to do that? Because baked into these NFT projects, the original creators get royalties every time it's resold.
That's huge.
So I created Bored Apes. You buy a Bored Ape for one ETH from me when I created it, I get the whole one ETH. You then sell that for 25 ETH, I get another 2.5 ETH
yeah.
when you sell it. So there's an incentive for me as the creator to be a good steward of this project yeah. and continue to provide value for you because I'm going to benefit from the increased value of this work in the secondary market. And this secondary market, it's no joke.
Yeah.
So you can go onto OpenSea right now, which OpenSea is this NFT marketplace. It's like the eBay of this community where people are buying and selling these different individual NFTs. And you can see that the volume that's been traded of Bored Apes on OpenSea is equal to 101,000 Ethereum. Okay? Mm-hmm. 101,000 Ethereum is $300 million.
Oh, wow.
In trading volume since this project was created.
Wow.
The original creators of this project get 10% of that trading volume.
This is what's so interesting. Thinking about how this applies to sort of, you know, video content creators, thinking about content ID and things like that. Like, I think the way these platforms, the OG platforms like Facebook and YouTube were set up, it was just like all about like owning everything and not, and trying to collect as much. Whereas if I feel like some of these startups that I've talked to that are creating kind of newer platforms are thinking about it, differently in a similar kind of way where it's like, we know it's going to get pirated. We know this. So as opposed to just sort of like trying to fight it, how do you embrace it and then take advantage of it and capitalize on it, which is like exactly what kind of this is, which shouldn't be difficult to do, much like any digital asset, including video. So I think it's really interesting. It reminds me, so I was pitched a couple of years ago. This guy was trying to figure out a version of this that was not digital. I think he like was into this shake brand or whatever, and he recommended it to a bunch of people. And then the next thing you know, like all these people were kind of addicted to the shake brand. He's like, how do I take advantage of that? And of course, my answer to that was like, well, that's an MLM, which is a multi, what do they call them?
Multi-level marketing schemes.
Multi-level marketing.
You've been hit up for some from high school friends.
Oh,
sure.
many. I just forgot that. Oh, there's a great podcast on MLMs. It's actually so sad because most people that get involved in them are low-income people that buy all these products. They think they're going to sell to like their townspeople. And
the one thing they're really good at, as their name would imply, is the marketing portion of that.
Yes. I don't know how you do that with physical goods without it being like an MLM, but on the digital side, it can be less creepy and, you know, culty and things like that. So very interesting stuff.
It's super cool. And so in order to increase the value of these Bored Ape projects, the creators have made this real sense of community where they have a token gated shop and merch drops. So you actually have to connect your Ethereum wallet to the Bored Ape Yacht Club shop that will verify that you're an owner of a Bored Ape in order to get official Bored Ape merch. And they'll also airdrop new NFTs that they're creating into the wallets of Bored Ape owners. So thereby increasing the value of holding on to these Bored Apes, thereby increasing the value in the secondary market, and they continue to make money every time they're sold. And bring it back to this community, Gary Vaynerchuk is doing this with V Friends too, except his NFTs not only provide some of that value we talked about with Bored Apes, but also give access to him and this VCon conference that he just said is coming in the first half of next year.
Okay, great. We got to
Lauren, get into it. Get into
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about some things. First up, UTA, United Talent Agency. So they have done a few interesting things this week. The first of which is they started a creator fund. They've partnered with a company called Pietra for a $500,000 creator fund. So basically, select UTA talent will be given the opportunity to launch their product lines and brands using Pietra. Pietra's Creator Hub has helped more than 20,000 creators start their own brands and product lines. I don't really know who those 20,000, that's a large number. I think the way they define creators might be a bit liberal, but we'll see. Neither Pietra nor UTA will have a stake in the entrepreneurs' business that receive funding. We're trying to build a future where these creators own their businesses and they can control their futures by having the same degree of creative and financial control that they have over their content. We are building a system that empowers the creators with technology and tools. That's a direct quote from the press release. Very interesting. A talent agency is sort of getting into this creator fund business. And then just before you chime in, Josh, also UTA partnered with a crypto startup called Rally. I know some people that have rallies to help creators launch their own digital currencies. So this partnership will serve to educate and encourage UTA rep talent to launch their own crypto-powered economies at Rally. So basically, Rally tokens, it's crypto, but it also allows access to unreleased content, private communities, early access to ticket events. It's that new version of, I guess it's crypto slash NFTs that's like, there's an experience aligned with also just the sale of the actual crypto. So Rally CMO said, Rally empowers creators, artists, celebrities, athletes, and more to launch their own cryptocurrency and to reimagine fandom as a symbiotic relationship where the entire community participates in launching and growing a digital economy. So let's talk about this. UTA, Creator Fund, UTA partnering with a crypto company.
First, are all the agencies doing this, or is UTA the only one doing this? Or are all the agencies doing this and UTA is just the best one at promoting the fact that they're doing all this?
I don't know that. I haven't seen that all the agencies are doing this. UTA, not to be biased, like the big agencies in Hollywood, if you will, it's like UTA, WME, ICM, and CAA. And I would say UTA has long been a big proponent of not only, you know, digital content creators, but digital in general. That's, you know, started sort of by Brent Weinstein, who's been there forever, and it's Ali Berman now is running it. And they have always, I think, been first to market, really understanding and recognizing this cohort of talent. They rep VidCon, for example. They have the biggest creators. They have the D'Amelio sisters. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard similar announcements from the other agencies, but maybe this is just a great mark.
Yeah. Do you think it's because of their venture arm too? Like they just have more kind of access and insight and they're looking at this stuff more?
You know, well, the funds that we've been mostly hearing about are creator content funds, right? From the platforms. So what I think is interesting about this is UTA is creating a fund to help creators launch businesses, which is something that I have been, you know, obviously a proponent and very excited about for a long time. And UTA Ventures has backed some of their, you know, internal talent. I know they like, bad example, maybe not, because he's not really a creator per se, as we would call it, but Seth Rogen's, I think, like Weed Line or something like that. Like,
yeah, and Chamberlain Coffee.
Yeah, of course, Emma Chamberlain Coffee, which is a huge client of theirs. She has her whole coffee brand. So this feels very much like the next step. What's interesting is that they're not, UTA is not going to have a piece of it. So I have to imagine something in the deal will give them the first right of refusal if it's to raise money or whatever, so then they can, you know, be a part of it should there be a great amount of success. Like, I cannot imagine that's not the case. Any thoughts on their crypto partnership?
So obviously love this. If you listen to the first 20 minutes of this podcast, obviously love that this is going on. And Lauren, you said you knew some creators that were active in Rally and have their own coins. Do you have any feedback from them? How are they liking it?
My buddy Jason emerged as, you know, one of the big Clubhouse creators from the pandemic. He has his own Jason coin via Rally. That's all I know.
And so similar to the Bored Apes, this is basically the same thing, except you need a certain number of these coins to participate in any type of Discord, early access to videos, maybe live audio chats, or maybe even FaceTimes with the creator. I love it. I think this is the future. I think this is just going to be like actually normal kind of table stakes within the next 12 months, maybe a little more. I think these things tend to happen slower than people actually think they will. So mm-hmm. maybe like 12 to 24 months, I think this is just going to be what like the majority of creators are doing. And a whole market can evolve around this that can be either highly speculative or just cool to be a part of. And if I've noticed anything with this like NFT craze is that people feel a lot of ownership of the communities that they're involved in, especially if they've committed financial resources towards that community. Like one time at VidCon, I was interviewing Rosanna Pansino at a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And there was someone in the audience that raised her hand to ask a question. And Rosanna was like, oh my God, is that you, Jane? Her name wasn't Jane. I forget what her name was, but she's like, oh my God, is that you, Jane? And she's like, yeah, hey Rose, what's up? And then Rosanna Pansino went into this like 5-minute long thing about how Jane was one of her first subscribers and used to comment on every video and they've known each other for the past 10 years, etc. So Jane's disinvolved without feeling any kind of like sense of ownership in Rosanna and her career. But imagine if she did feel a sense of ownership and how many more kind of like Janes there would be throughout that process wanting to build up these creators and really see them prosper. I think it could be super cool. FWB is probably the most notable kind of creator collective or community that does this. FWB stands for Friends with Benefits. It was created, and Lauren, you may know this, FWB was started by Trevor McFedries, who also is the CEO of tech startup Brood, who created the virtual pop star Lil Miquella. You've seen her, right?
Of course, of course.
And yeah. So then he also started this community, FWB, where it's token gated. So you need a certain number of tokens in order to join this community. The community is basically Discord. They might do more drops where they release like albums or NFTs into your wallet. You get to go to different events, etc. So it started off with FWB. You needed like a certain number of FWB tokens in order to be allowed into this community. And it basically costs like $100 or $50 or something. They just in the past month accepted new applications for FWB. And Lauren, guess what the kind of dollar value equivalent you need now in FWB tokens is in order to get into the community?
I don't know, Josh. Tell me.
It's about $9,000.
Oh, wow.
You need 75 FWB tokens that are at $135 a piece or so. That's just one example, an early example, and maybe the only example right now of this community that's been able to kind of like create value for itself and early adopters,
right,
and early proponents of that community. But maybe just an example to show you what the future is going to look like for successful communities like this.
Yeah. And I think it's also worth noting. So it'll be interesting to see with UTA specifically, they're going to be like, you know, looking at the pool of, I think, mostly their internal talent. So it'll be interesting to see who they end up partnering with. And like, it's always fascinating to see who can really sell and who can't, like who can really sell products and who can really get, you know, what audiences actually want to buy, because there's a lot of really engaged audiences that don't want to buy anything. Okay, next up, couple platform updates. So TikTok is testing, wait for it, 10-minute video. They just expanded the max video from 60 seconds to 3 minutes, which is significant. All these things are significant because in order to have an ad break in a piece of video, you have to have longer video. 3 minutes is usually the minimum that a video can be to put an ad in it. So that's why specifically 3 minutes is a very significant sort of number. And now they're reportedly testing even longer video. I mean, this is just very like, I feel like deja vu of when Instagram was only 15-second video and then they were like 60-second videos, et cetera, et cetera. And then they, you know, have all the different ways you can do longer video now. So this is all pointing, leading towards all signs are leading towards TikTok is going to monetize soon.
Two big things here. One, TikTok, please. I need a 2x speed button. Give me at least a 1.5. I'd love a 2.5. YouTube too. I'd love a 2.5.
Wow, 2.5. I can't handle that.
It gets easier. The more you listen to it, the more it gets. When people speak in 1x, it feels like they're drunk now. And then
it does. I do. I'm 1.5 is kind of my jam when I'm like, whatever. Every now and then I can do 2. But I do have moments when I'm listening 1.5 to like a podcast and I'm like, oh, wait, they're actually not talking this quickly. That would be a nightmare.
Correct. And then you listen to them at 1 and you're like, why is this taking so long? What is in that water bottle? Because it's making you speak very slowly. And Lauren, this is just the same kind of like funnel that we've talked about with YouTube Shorts. YouTube Shorts is trying to expand their reach at the top of the funnel. TikTok commands that top of the funnel in terms of creators getting into this ecosystem and creating content. It's the first really platform that they go to because it's easy and simple and low stakes. And then if TikTok can maintain that creator through their whole creator lifeline and trajectory from their short form videos that maybe get kind of monetized through the creator fund, maybe don't, maybe get sponsors, maybe don't, but then down towards the bottom of the funnel where they're creating longer form stuff and that is monetized. That's TikTok's plan for online video dominance. YouTube, right, the other way, obviously commands the bottom of the funnel in online video and now is trying to get more of the market share that they had a decade ago back from TikTok and Instagram even and Facebook video to be the first online video platform that people go to when they think about creating online video. YouTube have it, they want it back. So this is a battle for command of the kind of the online video funnel here. One's going up, one's going down.
Yeah, but I will say about like YouTube Shorts specifically, because I know this is your favorite topic. I spoke to an inside source at YouTube. If you have huge numbers on Shorts, you're not necessarily seeing huge numbers translate into sort of longer form video. This person said to me basically that the Shorts team is really hellbent on it being its own ecosystem. Their goals are not around how do we make this then transition to like somebody being a longer form video star. It's more about just how do we make this short video community incredibly robust, which I thought was very interesting.
I think that's probably entirely accurate, but also the short term plan. Like the long term plan here is total domination, right? To have a creator be on your platform and really only on your platform at all different points in that creator's life cycle and providing value for that creator and money for that creator at all those different layers, stages, inflection points of their career. So yes, I think in the short term, that makes a ton of sense, building up the YouTube Shorts ecosystem, making its own thing, figuring out how to monetize, getting people excited about it, getting more people creating for it. But long term, I think at least having some type of synergistic relationship with a content creator's long form videos where the audience of each one could feed into the other. That is, unless there's some huge monetization breakthrough in Shorts and YouTube kind of cracks the code there and everyone's getting paid everywhere.
We'll see. Okay. Another platform update I want to talk about quickly is, this is huge. Instagram is getting rid of the swipe up. What? So basically they're planning to retire the feature, which of course, as most people know, it's in stories. If you have either over 10,000 followers or are verified, you can add a link and ask people to swipe up to click on that link. Not sure if they're going to roll out this to everybody or it will still be those that have those thresholds of people who can do it. But starting August 30th, instead of the swipe up, Instagram said people will be able to use stickers, which are, you know, they're stickers. So basically you're going to put a link in the sticker and you'll click on it. I think the functionality is largely going to be the same in terms of what you're going to get out of it. I think, why are they doing this? It just makes it more consistent, right? Like, I just think right now it's like, even though this is like, seems like a little thing, I think they're trying to streamline the actions that one takes on Instagram because there's so many different things for one to do. And as they're thinking about, I'm sure this is also coming from like the commerce side, as they're thinking about commerce and how people can link out to other, you know, places to make money and stuff. This is all kind of a part of that larger plan.
Yeah, why didn't they have this feature before? I mean, it seems to me like a little bit counterintuitive where all these different platforms are figuring out different ways for the viewers to stay within their platform and do everything there, like the introduction of shopping, the introduction of different lengths of video, etc. So the ability to have some kind of cool new feature that lets you swipe out of the platform, I guess that provides some utility. You want to build up a big Instagram audience, just like you would want to build up a big Twitter audience so you can send them somewhere else. But I also think there's got to be a huge incentive to keep people inside of Instagram too. So releasing this feature to more people, I don't know, I can't wrap my head around which way to think about it right now.
I don't know. Are they releasing it to more people or is it the same amount of people and they're just changing the functionality?
That's a fair point. They actually haven't announced that they're going to expand this to more people yet, though they said they're considering it. But I guess bringing that question up, like, should they expand it to more people? Should they keep it as this elite feature to kind of creators that have built some sizable following? I mean, why not give it to everybody?
Yeah, it's funny. And I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were talking about verified profiles and how like it's just so like everybody should be verified. There's like new platforms that are cropping up where like everybody gets verified just like because you want to verify that this is the actual human and it helps it just bot accounts not exist and all that sort of stuff. And but in which case, if you're verified, then everybody's verified, that kind of gets rid of that sort of threshold, you know?
That's the reason we have Tana Mojo, Lauren, is because she wasn't a feature creator at VidCon. So she felt left out. So she wanted to go create TanaCon where everyone was a feature creator. So pluses and minuses there.
Okay, uploads and downloads. The huge download, of course, is VidCon was pushed, canceled this year. It's not happening in 2021. The story kind of broke. As a member of the advisory board, I found out on Thursday night. We record on Thursday morning.
How is it being a member of the advisory board?
It's really the responsibility. I take the responsibility so seriously. No, I do actually. But we got the heads up on Thursday night. They announced it on Friday morning. So, you know, no big surprise. The bottom line is, as a parent, if I had teenagers that wanted to go to VidCon, would I want them to go right now? And truthfully, the answer is I don't, not just VidCon. I wouldn't want them to go. I would want them to minimize their exposure to large events as much as possible so that I can make sure they can stay in school, which is like unavoidable to be around a lot of people. So I don't know, you know, there's a lot of factors that went into making the decision. I know from like just companies and executives, like we were, you know, my company was full steam ahead planning it. I spoke to people at Facebook, you know, they weren't sure what the company was going to allow them to do, but they were full steam ahead in planning. So it's a real bummer. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's certainly the VidCon, I would say VidCon and the Streamies are the two events twice a year where you kind of see all the people, do all the things. And it will now be 2 years that we have not done these things either at all or in person.
Yeah, I mean, Viacom has to make this decision. And I think so does TikTok as being the title sponsor, where just the potential downside of being this event where there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not maybe low hundreds of thousands of teens around, the potential downside of the headlines of that are disastrous. So this was the right choice.
Yeah.
Lauren, real quick, two more things about TikTok and music. TikTok just launched its Sirius XM station, which is basically kind of an Audible extension of its For You page, showcasing all the big top hits that are getting memed on TikTok. And also, Billboard magazine debuted a new chart that will recognize digital creators for fueling smash songs. And so this is cool. So this Songbreaker chart will update on the second Tuesday of every month and ranking top creators on TikTok and YouTube, as well as the songs that they have helped popularize. That's the big component of it. In accordance with viewership and engagement from data provided by analytics partner Shareable, number one on the inaugural list is Yusim E. Meng, who is the originator of the viral synchronized sway to the Stramae track Allures on Dance.
It's Allure on Dance. Oh, God, it's like I can't even with you.
I just pronounce it wrong, so then you can correct me and pronounce it right.
That means like, so, let's dance.
Hey!
Hey! Basically, it's the French equivalent of, hey, let's dance.
Lauren, what else you got?
Linktree has partnered with PayPal to allow users globally to accept direct payments. What's interesting about this is, so this link in bio, speaking of Instagram and swipe ups, this link in bio is still considered like really valuable real estate. Like, as an example, if everybody on Instagram is now able to like post a link within stories, does that real estate become less valuable? I don't know. Like, it's interesting. There's so many companies that have been cropping up over the last year that are like kind of the new link in bio kind of company, making a more robust kind of experience, which is interesting because Linktree has the giant lion's share of the market, but they haven't done much innovating, like candidly, like at all, in my opinion. But they did receive like a pretty large investment earlier this year. Don't ask me what it is right now. So this is, you know, they're now creating this sort of these new commerce links and commerce tools to help, you know, creators make money using Linktree. And they are now partnering with PayPal to allow users globally to accept direct payments. So this is just another thing that they're doing, as they should. They should have been evolving much sooner. So it'll be interesting to see this market, this sort of link in bio market. It's so niche if you think, like, if you're outside of our industry, and if I told you, if I said like the link in bio market, you'd be like, what are you talking about? But it's actually like a super hot market right now. And there's a ton of competition in the space. And like, it's kind of an arms race to who can make the most interesting experience for that very specific piece of real estate.
Yeah, it's a very coveted piece of real estate too. Obviously, because Linktree raised $45 million back in March of this year to help own it.
Yep.
How is this different than just me sending you PayPal? It just releases like one layer of friction, right? Rather than me going to PayPal and sending you something.
It's all about just making it a better process and like less friction. Exactly.
There we go. I dig it.
All right, Josh. We did it. We're done.
Lauren, I'll see you or 10,000 versions of you on some generative art project this week in the world of NFTs.
Oh God, wouldn't that be your dream?
I don't know how to respond to that, but like probably not there. And next week on Creator Upload. Today's show was produced by Lauren Schnipper and me. That's Joshua Cohen. It was edited by Jason Kang. Original music is by London Bridge. You can check him out on Instagram at London Bridge Music. His stuff is hot. Make sure you subscribe to Creator Upload wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, give us a rating for real. Leave us a comment. We love to see them. It brightens up Lauren's day. You know what else brightens up Lauren's day? When you email us at info@creatorupload.com. Tell us what you think about the show. And if you like our show, please recommend it to a friend. If you love it, recommend it to everybody within eyesight. Thanks for listening to Creator Upload, and we will be back next week.